Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
You know what? I like this beat of the intro. I'm going to let it play a little bit longer, man. I love this. This is pretty cool. Check it out. Listen to it. Enjoy the vibe. You're listening to Gamertag Radio, episode 566. This is your host, Danny. And also joining us this week, we have the whole crew. Let's start with Paris. Paris, you like that beat, Paris, or what?
Yeah, I do like it. I really enjoy the new intro that we have. Now, I got to make a correction from our last episode because, you know, I get to running at the mouth and I act like I know what I'm talking about, but half the time I really don't. And the whole Battlefield 1 thing, because, you know, people been hitting us up on Twitter. We got a few emails about it and we'll probably, you know, talk more about the emails on next episode. But in particular, as far as me saying that it was an alt universe, World War One, I guess that's not necessarily true. It sounds like it may be actually a historically accurate World War One, which, hey, if it is, cool. I mean, look, the trailer still did the job of getting me interested in the game, which is all that it needed to do. So hopefully we'll get more information, you know, going into E3. So just want to acknowledge everybody that's been hitting us up and say that I was wrong. Right. See, unlike you, Danny, I can admit when I'm wrong.
No, I said, hey, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
No, I'll say it. No, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. And also joining us, we have Pete.
What's up?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Good. I believe you also have a correction very quick.
That's correct. Well, it's not really a correction, but last week during my initial impressions of Battleborn, I favored mostly discussion on the single player co-op campaign version or you know, game side of Battleborn, and I never really discussed anything having to do with the multiplayer. So, you know,
you're going to talk about that later on.
Yeah. I wanted to bring it up and acknowledge that. Yeah. I didn't give it the full, you know, review/impression that it deserves. Cause it really is a good game. We'll talk about it later on in the show.
All right, cool. That's fine. All right, head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamertaG. Listen to our past episodes. And also, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to share with your friends and spread the word. Spread the word. Or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. Hopefully later on, we're probably going to read a couple of fan mail questions and also E3 predictions. This time it's going to be about PlayStation. And I think Pete and Paris are going to have some pretty cool predictions about PlayStation. Am I right or what?
My predictions are going to be pretty outlandish.
Okay.
I don't know. Paris is usually the one that puts a hell of a lot more thought into these questions than I do. So yeah. I'm actually interested to hear what he's got to bring.
Well, Jesus, Peter, thanks for putting all this pressure on me because I was just going to wing it.
You're the opinionated one. Yeah. So, you know, I got to come outside the normal on this.
Yeah.
Yo, I'll never forget this. Years ago, Paris was like, here's my crazy PlayStation E3 prediction. He said, I can't remember exactly who's going to be on stage, but he said something like, the game is coming out that day, and everybody at the press conference is going to have a free copy of The Last of Us.
Yeah, it was The Last of Us. Yeah. I remember that one. I think that's when I first started doing the Miss Cleo thing, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep,
it was during that time, yeah. But now we have Miss Leo. That's good. But, yeah, that's a lot of things going on, man, because, you know, E3 is coming up in a couple weeks, and we are going to have more information about our coverage, E3 coverage 2016, which I'm really, really excited about. And yes, of course, we've been working behind the scenes on booking appointments and all that stuff, so be prepared. And of course, we're going to have so much content daily for the whole week of E3, so stay tuned. More information is coming out very, very soon. But let's start with this. I believe there's new information about Mass Effect. Am I correct, Paris? Because I know EA and BioWare have been promoting this big time.
Well, just like someone that tweeted at me today when this news came out, Miss Leo was correct, because remember I said it. I was like, it ain't coming out this year. It's coming out in 2017. That's basically what the information was, is that BioWare on their blog just kind of apologized to the fans that, hey, we need a little more time to work on this game to make it the best that it could be. This is going to be the biggest, greatest Mass Effect they've ever done, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it'll be coming early 2017. And early to me sounds like maybe February. You know, in the past, I remember Mass Effect 2 came out in January. I can't remember Mass Effect 3, but I know it was like early in the year as well. So there is precedent for it to come out before March of 2017. So, hey, I'm all for it. If they need more time, do it. Like, look, I'm sure people that are playing Uncharted 4 are happy that they took their time making that game. So if they need more time to make Mass Effect, hey, I'm all for it.
Take your time. Take your time. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I mean, was there any new information about Mass Effect? I believe there was one that I read.
Well, I mean,
they're gonna have it at EA Play, right?
Yeah. They're going to blow it out at EA Play, which makes sense, because if it's coming out early next year, this and Gamescom are pretty much the last two opportunities they're going to have to really show off the game. And if you think about it, we've seen nothing of this game. We know nothing about Mass Effect other than it's called Mass Effect Andromeda, and we've seen a few CGI trailers. That's about it. And not even trailers, just teasers, really.
And it's the first Mass Effect built on the Frostbite engine.
Yes.
That is going to be mad interesting. Like, I've already talked about this in the past. Like, I brought in my late pass on this title.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm the lowbrow shooter guy, so I like three more than two. Shut up, Paris. I don't worry, I've pissed my son off with that comment also. But yeah, knowing as how well that Frostbite engine works on, you know, Battlefield, for example, it's going to be interesting to see what these guys are able to do on this next Mass Effect title, talking space. And they've been working on this for how many years now?
It's been a couple years.
I want to say we first started hearing about this semi-officially in 2012.
So you can imagine.
So 4 years.
Let's just say 3-4 years by the time this thing comes to fruition and comes to our hands. That's a lot of time to dedicate. It's going to be a good. I'm hoping we're not like getting overexcited and then it underdelivers. I mean, it's improved year in and year out, so I have nothing.
That's debatable.
No, shut up.
I wonder if they also going to have multiplayer in there.
I'm pretty sure they will. I mean, because that multiplayer Mass Effect 3 was sneaky popular. You know, a lot of people weren't like, oh my god, just on Twitter all the time talking about it. But a lot of people played that multiplayer, and a lot of people loved it. So I'm sure they're going to iterate on it and keep it going. Why not?
I think they should do something maybe campaign, playing with other players campaign-wise, you know? That would be cool if they could manage to pull that off.
You know? So when we do our third-party Miss Leo, I might have a crazy prediction about that.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Okay, well, that will be in a couple of weeks. Well, you know what? Before we talk about that, Paris, I was thinking, should we do a... When we do third party, should we do like individual companies, or should we do every third company into one?
I think that's too big. Like,
yeah, because we'll be doing predictions after E3.
Exactly.
Stuff that came out. We're still talking about.
I mean, we've got enough. We've got what, 2 weeks, or we've got what, 4 weeks of shows coming up, two times a week. And this is the last. This is the last of the. I mean, we already did Nintendo. We already did Microsoft. So this is the last of. The consoles, you know, so coming up should be nothing but publishers, maybe publisher devs or something like that. I don't know. We'll go there. Yeah. We'll go from there.
All right. So listeners, which one should be next? Let us know. Hit us up, fanmail@gamertaggrid.com, and we'll decide based on your feedback. We'll go to the next third party company, hopefully. So that's cool. Speaking about third parties, man, Epic Games announced that they are they're basically done with single-player campaigns, and they're going to focus more on the multiplayer side of gaming. I think their last single player game maybe was what, Gears of War. You could say that was like one of the big titles. I know that there's a couple mobile games and stuff here and there, but I'm talking about like official big games. Gears of War.
Pretty sure it was Judgment was the last one.
Was it Judgment?
And that wasn't even really them. That was, God, now I'm forgetting the developer, but it was they basically subled it out to another, to a smaller studio actually did Judgment.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, look, I don't have an issue with this. The thing is that I love single player campaigns. You know, like lately I've been playing Uncharted 4, and let me tell you, I've been loving it so much, which I'm going to talk about that later on. And I haven't even touched the multiplayer side of the game. You know, there's people that are really, really into playing multiplayer games, which is okay. That's fine. You know, but man, sometimes I just want to lay back, enjoy the show. Just, you know, play a game that, like playing Uncharted 4 reminds me of me watching a movie or something, you know, like something like that. I just want to like enjoy it. You know, my family's there watching with me, you know, playing while I'm playing this game and stuff. So I don't know, man. I mean, you guys have been playing, you know, a lot of Destiny and The Division. Those are multiplayer games, but it doesn't really, campaign wise, it's not really that big. Are you okay with, you know, with Epic Games making this move, like done with the whole single player campaign?
Yeah, here's why. They make hand, it's kind of like Valve. With Steam, it is Epic when it comes to game engines. They make way more money licensing out their engine than they do actually making a game. So they get to just make passion projects. So they get to do smaller things that they care about doing and don't have to worry about dropping 100, 150 million into some big tentpole AAA game and crossing their fingers, hoping it sells enough and partnering with a publisher to put all that stuff out. So instead, they just keep making their Unreal Engine. You know, look, the money train just keeps rolling on in and they can just do what they want. It's smart. And that, I mean, think about it. That's why they sold off Gears of War to Microsoft, because they knew even then, look, they didn't want to make Gears of War anymore. That was one a big AAA game. Instead, just give it to Microsoft because they're the ones that actually cared about it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But I don't want every company to make just multiplayer games. After a while, it's like, really? Where's the single-player games? You know, like, for example, imagine 343 said, okay, we're done with the campaign of Halo or something like that. You know,
well, didn't they already do that? It's called Halo 5.
that is so cool. That is so cold. But you know what I'm saying.
No, I know what you're saying.
That's not, I don't know, man. I just don't want video game companies to forget the people that don't play multiplayer games. They just play single player games. You know, don't forget about that crowd.
Think about it. Think about this, Danny. You're literally playing a game that, yeah, it has multiplayer in it, but people come to Uncharted for that single player. I mean, single player games will always have a place in gaming. I mean, now we were talking about this last week. I think these whole shared universe games are definitely going to be kind of the future, where you're playing co-op and you're doing, you know, PvE content together. But there's nothing, you look, the experiences that I've had in The Witcher and BioShock and things like that, that are just strictly single player games, you can't replace that. I mean, there will always be a place for that.
Yeah. And well, we're definitely going to be talking about The Witcher 3 later on. Woo! Okay, anyways. So, Pete, anything you want to say about this topic very quick?
I mean, and I think what Paris was talking about with Judgment from Gears of War, that was the People Can Fly studio. They worked hand in hand. I think at one point people were calling it Epic Poland because that's where they're based out of. But, I mean, they did. I think it's the right move until they can come up with another major IP that's got a good enough plot or story. And I think Gears of War had a lot to do with Cliff coming in, and then once he left, and then Rod left, even though he's, you know, he's elsewhere now. But I don't know. I think it might be the way to go. I mean, and maybe it's just following a trend, but we shall see. Fortnite looks pretty fun. I know Paragon is pretty.
You know
exciting.
Which one? Which game I played the beta? Overwatch, which is pretty cool. I like it. I honestly downloaded it thinking it was like, okay, I'm gonna be extremely bored. in a couple minutes. But man, I had a great time playing it, and I've been debating, like, man, should I buy this game or not? And that game is from Blizzard, so I think it's a great game.
It's two different mentalities, though, when you have a game like Overwatch versus a game like either Paragon or Battleborn, which are more shooter-based MOBAs, because the mentality on how you play those is totally different. Whereas in, mm-hmm. in something like in Overwatch, it's Team Fortress 2 slash, you know, Call of Duty multiplayer. You know, it's Twitch response. Who can get the most amount of kills? When you're playing a game like the Paragons and Battleborns, it's not what you can do, you know, skill-wise. There's a mentality that you have to bring into a game like that. And I guess it's probably a perfect segue into the Battleborn discussion that I brought up earlier in the show. When you mm-hmm. when you play a game like that, you have to, and I know you guys, I always jive with you guys about wrestling and stuff like that, but know your role. Know what you're doing in a game like that. When you're playing in a MOBA style game, it's not about going in, rushing in and trying to get as many kills and seeing if you can out Twitch response your opponent. You know, you have to go for the ads. You have to go for, you know, I guess in a game like this, you have to go for the bots. You have to play your roles. Are you going to be a specific lane? Are you going to be, you know, in league terms, are you going to jungle or you're going to run the mid game? But in things like that, you can't focus on just trying to get the most amount of kills on the enemy team. You have to sit there and play your role. And that's one of the things that a lot of people going into a game like Battleborn are going to get confused when you go from the campaign to the multiplayer. It's theoretically, it's two totally different game types that you're jumping into. So you have to switch modes going in or else you're going to fail miserably, especially on the multiplayer, because everybody can shoot, you know, either, you know, regular ads in the campaign. But when you're playing in a multiplayer like Battlefield or Battleborn or any MOBA style game, bots are the key. Bot control is pretty much the key to a game. And if you're going to succeed, make sure you take care of the bots and then focus on your enemies, or else you're going to fail miserably. And if this is what Epic is going to do, and they're going to focus on games like Paragon and Fortnite, and I mean, I believe Unreal is theirs from day one, so it's not like they've got any confusion on that title. I know I've got friends that have been playing that game since, you know, early 2000s when it first came out. I don't know about you, but I'm interested. Granted, that's a game similar to like what Doom is, and I've already pooped on my concept or my expectations for the Doom title, and maybe that's because I have a love-hate relationship with Unreal. Mm-hmm. I think it's the right move, especially for Epic, where this is where they made their bread and butter early on. So I don't see why not. It's something that they can focus on. They know that they're good at. So why break the winning recipe?
Yeah. All I'm saying is, companies, don't forget the single player crowds. That's it. And also local multiplayer games too, I think, which is very, very important to me.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
So here's another topic. Battlefield 1 has the most liked trailer ever on YouTube. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare has the most dislike. Battlefield 1 has over 1 million likes on YouTube, which makes it the most liked trailer of all time. Good news, bad news, or what?
It's good news for EA, but in the grand scheme of things, it means absolutely nothing, because like I said last week, when the dust settles, what's going to be the number one selling game? And that's all Activision cares about. They're making money. They don't care. I mean, like I said, the CEO even came out and said, hey, all right, everyone's disliking it, but I'll kind of point you kindly back to previous years and all the great sales that we've been having with Call of Duty. They're like, kiss the ring. They don't care.
They don't care.
Again, until Call of Duty, we see the MPDs and there's a drastic drop in sales. Then we might see a like this drastic move by Activision to change Call of Duty or, you know, take a year off or something crazy like that. But let's be realistic. No matter how good Battlefield 1 may be, campaign, multiplayer, whatever, it will not outsell Call of Duty. It won't.
Battlefield ever sold more than Call of Duty? Ever?
Nope.
In the history?
Nope. Probably not, but I'm thinking, I'm going way back to like the original, you know, like Call of Duty and all that. Was Battlefield even a thing? When was Battlefield a game? An actual game?
Ooh, Battlefield first released in 2002.
Okay. So they did go head to head at certain points.
Yes.
Even in the early days.
Yeah, 2002 and 2003 went back and forth.
Because Call of Duty, because again, not to go way back in the history, originally it was Medal of Honor and Infinity War was born out of that and splintered off and became Call of Duty.
No, I'm just talking strictly Call of Duty, like Call of Duty. Yeah. Well, Call of Duty 2 and then 3 and then 4, Modern War, you know, Modern Warfare and then World at War, et cetera. And then it goes on from there. But
I mean, if you look at it, let's just take it from 2007, because that's been the Call of Duty that we all know today. No way since 2007 has Battlefield outsold Call of Duty.
No, I think, and I'm looking at an old thing, an old infographic from, I think, 2011. At that time, best-selling individual game in the millions for Black Ops at that time was 25. And at that time, EA's Battlefield Bad Company 2 had topped out at 8 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a threefold.
Think of it this way. Battlefield isn't even EA's biggest game this year. It's going to be Titanfall 2.
Hold up. You think that Titanfall 2 is going to sell more than Battlefield?
Yes.
Wow, he didn't even hesitate. What? He didn't even let you finish your conversation, and he threw out yes.
Let me get me wrong, Paris. I love Titanfall. Love it. More than Battlefield. But that's going to be tough.
No, it's not, because now it's going to be on the PlayStation 4.
Same thing with Battlefield.
Well, what's the difference? Well, I know. Every year it's on all the platforms. I'm just saying, Titanfall is now going multi-platform. It's going to... I'm telling you, this is their look, Miss Leo. I got to just do it real quick. Titanfall 2 will be the biggest game for EA. They will market it as the biggest game for 2016. It is going to get put in that Battlefront slot for the holiday in November. They're going to market the hell out of this game. It'll be their biggest selling game for 2016 over Battlefield 1.
Yeah, that's some strong.
I mean, we've already seen the financial calls come out, so we kind of already know what games are coming out for EA.
Yes.
They're even in that financial call, they're talking up Titanfall 2 as their biggest game, not Battlefield 1.
Because they are going to invest more on the marketing side than Battlefield, because Battlefield already have a name. So. Makes sense. I mean, I don't know, man. That's some strong words, but it's all good. It's all good. But here's some crazy stats about this whole YouTube likes and dislikes. So Infinity Warfare has 1.4
Infinite Warfare?
Million. Yeah, Infinite Warfare.
You said Infinity.
You said Infinity
Warfare. I thought it was the Avengers. I thought Thanos was coming.
You know what happened? I was thinking about Disney Infinity. I was thinking, which we're going to talk about that later. So anyways, Call of Duty has 1.4 million dislikes.
Actually, making it, as of right now, it's 1.8. I'm looking at the trailers for both of them right now.
At that time, when I'm reading this, at that time it was the fifth most disliked video in YouTube history, ahead of Miley Cyrus, Wrecking Ball, and Gangnam Style. Also,
that right there tells you everything you need to know. The fact that Gangnam Style had all those dislikes. Didn't that at one point it was the most viewed video ever on YouTube?
Ever. Yep.
It's just trendy. I'm going to dislike it. Yeah. You know, but then, oh, crap, I'm going to play it because this multiplayer is so good. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, the average person doesn't even know.
I know. They don't care.
They're still going to buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, man, all right. All right, just saying that, man. But I'm surprised that Battlefield has more likes than Star Wars The Force Awakens, which is crazy.
Again, I rest my case. I'm just saying.
All right. I'm just saying. But by the way, I'm excited about this. The final, which is the final, right? The final DLC of The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is coming out.
Yes.
It's called Blood and Wine. I read somewhere, I don't know if this is for sure or not. Maybe you know more about this, Paris.
I'm sure I do.
30 hours? You're a punk. 30 hours?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. They're saying gameplay wise, 20 to 30 hours with this expansion, Ooh. A whole new area, 90 new quests, 20 new monsters. They're adding mutagen slots to the weapons and new attacks. Dude, it's like there's a whole new Gwent deck they're putting in. I can't wait. I cannot freaking wait. Like, I literally stopped when that came out. I was like, I'm not playing this again until the DLC comes up. I stopped playing. I want to, because they're redoing the UI, playing the game to just make it easier to get the various items and things like that. I mean, CD Projekt Red is going all out for this, which, again, that's why they're like top five best developers in the world right now. And look, that game came out a year ago and it's still on everyone's minds and people are still talking about it. And like I said, I can't stop playing it. I love that game. It's fantastic.
And how much is this DLC?
I don't know. Because whatever they want, I'll give it to them.
But expansion pack, not a...
Yeah, the expansion pack. I'm not sure. I think because you could have bought the season pass. So I'm not sure how much it is individually. But I know because I just saw it. You can get that expansion pass on GameStop or on Amazon for like $20 right now. But I don't know individually how much it is. I would imagine it's probably $20 if you bought an individual too, since it's brand new. But hey, it's worth it. Whatever. I throw my coin purse at it. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Cool.
Anyways, just to reiterate on the price, it's going to be $19.99 for Blood and Wine. Heart of Stone cost $10 when it came out. So you can get both for about, I think right now, if you want to, you can go out and get it for about $25 as a bundle. But yeah, $20 for 30 hours.
$20?
Pretty damn good deal, dude. For a single player campaign.
You can find this game cheap now.
It's not even that. I mean, just $20 for that amount. I mean, that's an amazing amount of return on your time versus price paid. When you consider you can get a lot less game for a lot more, you pay $60 and you'll probably get like 8 to 10 hours of gameplay, maybe more if it's a multiplayer game. But I mean, $20 for a single player game with the quality of a CD Projekt Red Witcher 3 title.
And they went back and they created brand new assets for the environment. They created brand new music. I mean, they made, graphical improvements to the engine. Mm-hmm. Just, dude, CD Projekt Red, they're freaking rock stars, man.
And you know
They went all out.
Gotta give it to them.
And you know what's coming up?
When is the date coming up?
May 31st.
May 30th.
May 31st.
Yeah, okay. And what's even more anticipated?
What?
Come on. What's the 2077?
Well, you know, they're not allowed to talk about it at all on press junkets. I was reading that the other day because, they're going to go on a media tour, when Blood and Wine gets ready to come out. There, no one in CD Projekt Red is allowed to talk about the 2077. However you say it, blah.
I mean, when are they planning to release this game? They've been working on this for a while.
No, they haven't, Danny. That's the thing. The majority of the teams have been working on The Witcher 3. I mean, now that Blood and Wine's coming out, they're shifting focus onto Cyberpunk. So, honestly, probably 2019.
Yeah, as of earlier, actually, what's today? Today is, we're recording this on the 11th. Actually, yesterday, there was a report from Kotaku that said the project team is just now working on the development tools to start making the game.
Yeah.
So that's granted. It's been like, I'm sure they've been working on it like in the periphery, in the background and on the sides. Whereas, the primary focus has been solely on The Witcher, but now that Blood and Wine is, I'm assuming it's gold because it's coming out in 20 days, right? It's when they shift focus and they're like, okay, now it's to the game that everybody's been waiting for. This is the me personally. I can't wait. I'm stoked. Like I'm probably gonna have to drop coin and upgrade the machine again because you know the spec you know the minimum recommended specs are gonna be way over what we're currently running.
Well, so. On that note, I need to make a confession. Okay. So let me I got to tell the story. So you know. As a goof, I'm like, all right, Witcher 3, I'm going to set everything to ultra and I'm going to put it in 4K and I'm going to run fraps. I want to see how many frames per second I'm getting, you know, everything turned on to the max in 4K. Surprisingly, my 980, I was getting between 25 and 31 frames per second on the Witcher 3. And I was like, whoa, really? My 980 is doing this? So I'm like, man, that 1080... I could probably get a rock solid 30 frames per second, maybe 40 something with that 1080. I'm weak. Everything I said last week, I'm such a hypocrite because now
it took him 7 days.
I'm looking at that 1080 and I'm like, man, when these specs come out in the real world, I'm gonna have a decision to make.
Man, and it's funny because we talked about it last week, literally the day after the show. Like it was like 11 in the morning. He's like, I'm weak. I'm looking at the 1080. It wasn't even 24 hours from the announcement that he had already gone back.
Paris.
But see, Pete, man. I could play The Witcher 3 in 4K. Okay? It's worth it.
Paris, but I couldn't swear you said, nah, I could hold on.
No, I can't. I'm weak.
Get the TI because it's more for your money. Yeah. Nope.
I'm weak. I might be able to start 4K gaming now. I'm weak. I don't know. All jokes aside, I mean, all BS aside, I'm legit. When it finally comes out and the reviews start coming out, I'm going to be very curious to see what the benchmarks look like compared to a 980 and a 980 Ti. Because, I mean, you know, going by what NVIDIA says, the power levels on these things are off the charts. So I want to see what it can do in real world. And again, Witcher 3 is one of the benchmark games that a lot of people are going to do their reviews with. So I'm very curious. Like, and I'm not joking. If I see benchmarks that I could play in 4K and it's about 40, 45 frames per second, screw it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Everyone can tweet at me. I ain't waiting that long. I have to wait a year. I can get it now.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. He tapped out.
Tapped out. PC right. Gaming. I love it. It's expensive as hell.
All right, so we're going to do fan mail. Only two questions. I really want to save...
What happened to Miss Leo?
Miss Leo is going to save... Best for last, man. Miss Leo is the star right now of the show. We're going to save that for last. Very quick. Two questions only, and everything else we're going to save it for the next episode. So here it goes. P, you ready? Your voice is good?
Nah, not even. By the way, Paris, this is just for you. I'm looking at three different reports, 50% performance increase on the 1080 over the 980 Ti.
No, I know.
He's sweating right now.
Dude,
in the background.
They're already saying the 1070 is more powerful than a Titan X. Mm. The 1070.
Talking dirty.
You know what's sad? I'm giving you some inside baseball. My wife don't hear this. I got the money stashed already. If I really want to get it, I can just go get it.
Oh my God, I'm back. It's up top.
You know where I'm going to be at E3? I'm going to be at the NVIDIA booth, just lusted. I'm asking all kind of questions.
Like a little kid, man, just standing there, just staring at them, like, so, I'm excited for this right now.
Hey, y'all got a review card? You want me to check it out for you?
Oh my God.
All right. I'm ready. Here goes. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
All right. So we have a couple questions, and I believe was Paris. That you want to answer one question about Battlefield 1, which you already did. We're not going to read that, right?
Why would we read it again? He already answered it.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. All right, that part.
You notice anyways, I didn't say anything. I'm like, I know he's just asked me.
Why he's doing this to me? Anyways.
Oh, my God.
You're a d- So, Pete, which one you would like to read?
I love how he insisted on doing mail, and then he's asking us, which one do you want to read?
After we said before the show,
I'll read this. Shut up. I'll read this. This is from, all right. So this is, from Dwayne. He doesn't know, I don't know where the location, but here he writes, what's up, guys? Real quick, what are the chances Microsoft and Sony share the stage and announce the first cross-platform game?
Zero.
I also think, yeah, there you go. And I also think Microsoft announces PC to Xbox Play and some partnership with Steam. Thoughts?
That now, anyway, part two, I've been screaming, Miss Leo, I've been screaming that one since last year because I thought they were going to say that last year and they didn't. So I really hope they do this year. Because I mean, again, it's one of the advantages that Microsoft has over Sony is that they can integrate that Xbox One into PC, and they can, and if they partner with Steam, dude, you mm-hmm. just you're making it a Steam client, basically a quasi Steam machine, you know. So why not? I just think it's smart to do. It's not hurting them from being able to have people buy Microsoft games. You know, people still buy those. You have your Xbox. It gives people another incentive to have an Xbox One in their living room. Why not? Do it.
And here it is, guys. Valve and Microsoft, Seattle. They're in the same location. So you never know. Meetings behind the scenes.
Well, Nintendo and Microsoft in Seattle, too. I don't see them partnered up with nothing.
Nah, that's not gonna happen.
I'm just being an a-hole. I'm sorry. I should have said that.
Yeah, I know. You're a punk. All right. So here's another question. This is from Kenneth. There's no location here again. Okay. Anyways, he said, I'm a avid listener of the podcast. Great job, by the way. I'm emailing you with a question for the show since you asked one from Twitter. That was me, by the way. With the development of the new Xbox coming, what new features you would like to see in the new more powerful Xbox? Features, meaning updates to the UI, etc. Keep up the great work, guys. And he says he's going to be emailing us more often with questions. Thank you, man. Let's see. What are the features that we like to see in this new Xbox that rumor has it that they might Microsoft might announce it during E3? Faster for me. Faster and also no disc, straight up digital. No, that's what I would like to see.
That's never going to happen.
That's not it.
What about all the people who
can I dream? Jesus Christ, man. Hey, let me answer the freaking question. That's my answer, not yours. It's my answer.
I can't stop laughing.
Jesus. Let me answer my freaking question, man. Anyways, go ahead.
The reason I need to counter the no disc drive thing.
Yeah. All I hear is Jesus Christ, let me have my dream.
Hey, it's true, man. Jesus.
The reason I counter your thought of the no disc drive is think of the people with which they use the Xbox One as their centerpiece in their living room. You have these DVDs that now you cannot play.
Paris is because when he's been saying that, all I'm thinking about, well, they tried that 3 years ago. It was called the launch of the Xbox One, and people were like, oh, hell no, you ain't taking away my physical disc.
That is true.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's too funny.
I could dream.
I'm sorry, Pete.
Dream.
Please continue.
If the Xbox One is going to be the centerpiece of your entertainment living room, you know, where it plays your video games and it plays your movies and your content, without a disc drive, it makes it that much more difficult. Granted, this is coming from someone who actively uses Plex and Kodi and doesn't watch video on my disc drive. It's going to be really difficult. Not everybody has the ability or the internet. Granted, internet bandwidth has increased exponentially across residences across the United States, but not everybody can afford A, the bandwidth, or B, the cost of increased bandwidth to be able to download and keep them. And plus, at that point, then you have to spend another $100-something to buy an external hard drive. Not everybody's got that luxury, so I don't see them foregoing the disc on this iteration of the Xbox or the Xbox 1.5, whatever it's going to be called. Maybe later on down the line, maybe, but I don't think for this hardware generation we're going to see it.
Kenneth, look at me, man. I'm answering your question. Pete is still stuck in the past. This is the future, and I'm saying it's going to happen.
Look,
it's
the future. Trust me.
Trust me. Look. Don't listen to Pete. He's stuck before BC. He's old school, man. Think of the future, man. It's going to happen. Paris, who are you going for? Team Pete or Team Dan?
Neither one, because I disagree with both of you. No, Pete's right. Because
why do you disagree with both of us? No.
No, that's no answer with that.
I'm still stuck on the Jesus Christ, let me have my dream. I'm still stuck on that. No, seriously. No, Pete, you're right. Because, I mean, they're not getting rid of disc, not anytime soon. I mean, look, the rumors are if this PlayStation 4K is real, it's going to have a 4K Blu-ray player in it. So you would imagine Xbox is probably going to have something similar, right? I mean, at a minimum, they're still going to keep the Blu-ray drive in there. Because again, if you make actually thinking about what Danny says makes no sense, because now you've completely alienated all previous Xbox One owners, because you're basically telling them, hey, if you want to upgrade to this new one, all those discs you bought, throw them in the trash and rebuy all the games again. That's not happening. No way they're doing that.
No. Have something like, look, if you want to put this, you could buy an option.
Or Danny, you just keep a freaking disc drive in the damn thing and it works. How about that?
Or keep your old one. That's it. Keep the old one. You're set.
But what do I think would be in this new obviously they're going to upgrade the GPU, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it'll probably be able to do a steady 1080p, 60 frames per second kind of stuff. I'm just imagining having HDMI 2.0 in it so they can do 4K streaming of Netflix and all those type of things. So that would be it. It'll be 4K capable. I think that would be one of the biggest
for
things.
Video
I
mean, streaming. Let's quantify
right, for
that.
For video streaming.
Game, not for gameplay.
Yeah. It would just up-res to 4K, but it would not be true 4K gaming.
It's funny that people still think that the new PlayStation 4, it's going to be 4K gaming, which I think is not going to happen, but okay. Only for like movies and stuff like that, yeah.
Well, you know what's funny about that? Just side note real quick. At work, because, you know, I got outed as the video game guy, I had a guy come up to me last week or the week before and was asking me, he was like, hey, so that PlayStation, that new one, is that the rumors true about that? And I was like, yeah, it's sounding like it's true. They're going to come out with a new PlayStation 4 that can do 4K. And he was like, yeah, I can't wait to be playing all my games in 4K since all the games will be 4K now. And I just looked at him and I said, no, not really. And he didn't believe me. He thinks it's going to be 4K gaming. And I was like, all right, I'll leave that alone. So man, you know, that goes to show you that the average person does think that, I think.
No. Yeah, and that's the thing that I'm a little bit worried about that part is that Sony's probably, I hope they don't do this, promoting a way like, hey, yes, 4K console, but not mentioning it's only for movies. They won't mention that and just strictly promote this as like, yes, also like a diverse person might think like, oh man, I could play a 4K game too.
Well,
on TV.
Well, our good friend Aaron Greenberg, I got to mess with him for just a second. He used that same kind of terminology with the Xbox One with the whole 900p thing. He came out, well, it up-reses to 1080p. You know, it outputs at 1080p, so it's 1080p gaming. But sorry, Aaron, I just had to say that.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
that's what they're going to do. You know, they're just going to.
I'm talking about PR marketing speak. Like, the company's probably going to be promoting it that way. They're not going to. For the average person, they're going to see that as like, man, 4K gaming. Wow. That's the issue I'm going to have too, man. So I don't know. Let's see what happens, man.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're going to go now with the E3 predictions. Miss Leo, go ahead. Let's make this happen.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement.
retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. And I've given them my E3 2016 predictions. You hear me?
All right, so who would like to start with this prediction?
I'd like to start.
Yeah, because you know what? He's always with this conspiracy theory stuff, so go ahead.
I don't have a conspiracy theory. Mine is real simple. The PlayStation Neo is real and it's going to do 4K stuff. Okay, I'm done. Pete, you go.
That's it? That's all? That's it?
No, all jokes aside. I think, I legitimately think they're going to show God of War at E3, and wow, it'll be the... That and Horizon is going to be their two showcase games for the PlayStation Neo. And I think God of War and Horizon are both 2017. I think The Last Guardian will come out this year. I think that's going to be like the last thing that they show. And I think it'll be day and date with the launch of the PlayStation Neo be The Last Guardian.
Well, I think they're going to show a quick Shenmue update, you know, to tease the fans. Get them excited.
You know, I have a problem with that.
I have a bad... Pete, can I finish with my prediction? Jesus.
No, now you're going to...
Let him have his dream.
Let me dream.
Yo, that's twice already. I that's it. I can't talk here. Anyways.
Now you know how we
my
feel.
Second, I know. I'm messing with you guys. My second prediction is if Sony announced this new 4K console, I predict price drop for the original PlayStation 4. I see that happening for this E3.
You really went
also,
out of the with that one.
Maybe some new trailer of Kingdom Hearts. We might see that. And here's a crazy one. I know a lot of people might not agree with me with this, but I think we might see an announcement of Red Dead Redemption 2. At the Sony press conference.
Wow, sounds like a lot of what I said last week, but that's okay.
What? You did? You said that last... You kind of did. You're right, you did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I kept laughing again. I can't stop.
Yes, that's true. You did say that last week. Anyways.
You shot me down vehemently in the chat. That'll never get out. I mean, no, they never show up at E3.
No. Wait. Pete. Hold on. You said that they were going to be over there with a booth and everything at E3.
No, I said
press conference is fine because... They have announced games at like Microsoft and Sony in the past, but in the booth, like having a booth, they haven't done that in years.
All right.
So, like, I think Microsoft years ago, I remember they announced one of the Grand Theft Auto games. I think it was Grand Theft Auto 4 at one of their E3 press conferences. Remember that tattoo that that Peter Moore had when he used to work for Microsoft? It was during that time. There was no Rockstar games at E3, but they made the announcement. So it's possible trailer-wise, but that's it.
Love it. Quantifies it after. Love it.
Oh, God. Okay, go for it, Pete. Go for it.
All right. I think we're going to have a Horizon Dawn demo on site. Guerrilla Games is usually really strong with their presence at E3. I remember Paris falling in love at the Guerrilla Games booth last year. Was it breakfast with Red Bull or something like that? Something like that, Paris?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The Guerrilla Games booth at E3 last year. Outdoors, early morning, you had breakfast or something like that. The second one, I was
drunk half the time. I don't remember what I was doing.
How are you drunk at 8 a.m.?
How was I not?
All right, so my next one, I think we're going to see a Crash Bandicoot title launch at Sony. Shut up. Let me dream. Let me have my moment.
Let me have a dream.
I think we're going to see No Man's Sky announced as a PSVR launch title.
That's a good one. I can see that.
And I'm still debating which one it's going to be, but I think Sucker Punch is going to show up with either a Sly Cooper or an Infamous title.
You know, you bring up a point that I think, you know, a lot of people aren't truly talking about just yet, but I kind of think VR is going to dominate the conversation at their press conference, don't you think?
I wouldn't be surprised. And No Man's Sky is the perfect, is the perfect entry vehicle for Sony, especially to showcase VR on the PS4, 4K, whatever they're going to be hawking at E3. And I think that is a title procedurally drawn where you're going in, all you got to do is put on your helmet and sit in your chair and disappear into space. And that's it. You don't have to sit there with the controller. Granted, you'll still have controllers, but it's that full immersion into space travel, which is where I think that No Man's Sky title has an amazing opportunity to excel and push that title across. Go Duke. So, but yeah, I'm heavily looking forward to Sly Cooper or an Infamous launch title from Sucker Punch. I loved the first two Infamouses. I wasn't really too keen on the last one. wasn't too hot on that. But I would love to see an Infamous title for PS4 moving forward.
Here's another one. What are the chances of us seeing a PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale announcement?
Can we not?
The next game. I'm not a fan of the game. I'm just saying, is it possible?
Yeah, it's possible, but I hope they don't.
Yeah, because the last one was kind of...
Yeah. That's not their strong suit. Leave that to Nintendo. That's Smash Brothers. They don't need to do that.
All right, so going back to Sly Cooper, when was the last Sly Cooper title? Like, full-on title? Is that all two though? Like all PS2?
No, there was one on the PlayStation 3, wasn't it?
Hold on. To the Googles we go. Thieves in Time. Thieves in Time, 2013.
Okay, I got a crazy Miss Leo, because you talking about them made me think about the studio.
Uh-huh.
SOCOM comes back.
Oh damn. Oh. Hey. Watch it.
You know what, Paris? I could see that happening. Christ. You know why? Get the crowd excited, man. They're good with that, man.
And think again. We talk about these shared universe games and all this stuff. You give me SOCOM.
Done.
I'm interested. You piqued my interest immediately with that. So, I would love to see it. I mean, if you think about it, it would be basically PlayStation's exclusive answer to Rainbow Six.
Mm. Yep.
I can see it.
Oof. That's a big
damn
one. If they manage to, oof. Okay, Paris, I think you got that one.
and one more, not a prediction, I'm just more of a question. So do you think VR and Neo launch on the same day?
I think so. If they announce it this E3, hardware wise, it's because it's coming out this holiday. Both. They're going to have a bundle probably, and also you could buy a separate.
All right, so Morpheus is expected to release October 2016. There's no expectation or there's no anticipated date for Neo, so it's a crapshoot. Yeah, I don't see why not. Take advantage of the holiday season and boom.
Yeah, and the one thing that we do know about Neo through the leaked documents is all PlayStation games as of October have to be Neo compatible.
Right. Why the October date? We have Morpheus October. These dates, these titles have to have compatibility in October. Yeah. I think it's a foregone conclusion at that point. I mean, we have no verification or no way to validate that date. But I mean, if you just take 2 + 2, I mean, it equals 99.9% of the times, right?
here's my question to you guys. Do you think Sony will announce the price at E3, or keep it on the hush and just announce the console at the press conference
of Neo?
Yeah, and if they do announce the price, how much should it be?
I think it, honestly, here's what I think. I think it depends on what Microsoft does earlier in the day.
So you think they swap out the PowerPoint deck midstream based on
that's what they did in 2013. I mean, that's the legend now, that in 2013 when Phil Spencer said $4.99 for Xbox One,
they were high-fiving.
Yeah, they high-fived and they changed the presentation, took the camera out that day and made it $3.99. That's the rumor. So if that's the case, what I'm saying is, if Microsoft comes out and says, we're just doing an Xbox Slim at $250, then they probably come out and just say whatever the price is going to be, I think. But if Microsoft comes out with their Xbox, you know, whatever, and it's $399, they may wait to say what the price is going to be because they may try and see if they can get lower than $399 for the Neo.
Well, they could announce as a price drop for the current PlayStation 4 and get the crowd.
Well, I think, yeah, that I think they have no choice but to do, because the second that you confirm the Neo exists, that PlayStation 4 price has to drop because no one's going to buy it unless it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I mean, I just food for thought. That'll be interesting. I mean, like I said, that Monday, that E3 Monday is going to be so fun this year because we have no idea what Microsoft is going to say. We have no idea if they have any new hardware they're going to show. And if they don't have new hardware, it'll be curious to see how PlayStation handles it. Because, again, it all comes down to messaging. I mean, they could drop the ball Monday night and piss everybody off and nobody wants that PlayStation Neo. Or they could get everyone hyped for it, show off all these amazing games and have it at a reasonable price. And people are throwing money at Amazon right as the press conference ends. Because, you know, because that's what I did 2013 when they said $399. If you remember, I went on Amazon on my phone right then and there to go pre-order it.
No, well, actually, you cancel your Xbox One pre-order.
Well, no, yes. If you remember, I canceled my Xbox One before they even did the Sony one, because I said this is ridiculous. That is $499.
So the current current PS4 is what, $300?
$299? Is it $350?
I think it's $350. It's $350. $299 was during only the holidays. Yeah. That's a temporary price.
$350. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm gonna say $400 easily all day. They're gonna drop to $299 on the current PS4, and for the Neo or whatever they're gonna call it moving forward is gonna be $400. Coupled that with $400 for Morpheus, whatever they're gonna be calling that moving forward, maybe a $750 to $800 bundle cost the holiday season.
I'm gonna slightly disagree with you. I think PlayStation 4 goes to $250.
Wow. Yep,
because I think Xbox One goes to $250.
Well, it has to. I mean, you've got the lesser hardware from jump on that. So I think you just have to admit defeat and just chop your prices, sell as many as you possibly can.
Yeah. The thing that I'm curious if they're gonna do is keep, because the new Xbox, how much do you think that should be?
I don't think you go any higher than $300.
You want to go with the higher $300 on what?
On the new one.
You mean if it's the Slim or if it's the Xbox 1.5?
1.5, whatever you're going to call it.
It's $400.
But we don't know what's going to happen.
I'm saying again, this is all rumor and speculation. Again, I don't even think they're going to come out with one this year, but let's just say they do. If it's literally going to be this powerhouse under the hood, 4K, all that kind of stuff, I don't see how they could afford to put it at $300. I think $399 may just be at cost. In my opinion.
$350? That's pushing it?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just have $400 in my head. I just think that's the logical price for these new mid-tier upgraded consoles. Yeah. And you just drop the price of the old ones down to $250 or even $199 if you're trying to be really aggressive.
Oof, $199, that would be insane.
I think you're a little crazy there. I need to chill.
Yeah, that's a little, like, I know Ryan mentioned that a couple episodes ago, and I'm like, man, that's pushing it.
But
man,
if you're 200? Microsoft, though, if you could just sell the Xbox One at cost and it's $199, shouldn't you just do it? I would just do that. If you're truly trying to catch up in this generation and make a dent, then you got to be cheaper than your competition. And like I said, Sony could just say, hey, original PlayStation 4, $250. Then what are you going to do? People are still going to go buy that PlayStation 4 over an Xbox One. You don't have an advantage at that point.
Okay. Do you guys agree, listeners? Let us know. Hit us up, famo@gamertagreal.com, or give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Also, head over to gamertagreal.com or play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episodes over there. And And also, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And I think that's about it, man. So once again, I want to say this very, very quick. I haven't finished Uncharted 4 yet, but man, contender for Game of the Year, hands down, one of my favorite Uncharted games. I put it up there, right up there with Uncharted 2 as one of my favorite Uncharted games so far. So I still haven't finished the game, but I know Paris purchased the game. He's going to be playing it in a couple of days. Pete, I believe you got your copy too.
Yeah, it's already downloaded, ready. As soon as we hang up this call, I'm going to be jumping in.
All right. So I definitely would love to hear your thoughts about this, man. Because man, I'm loving this game, man. Loving it. Story is great. Combat is great. The level design, everything is just, oof, it's perfect, man. Voice acting, amazing, amazing. So, and I haven't even touched the multiplayer yet. So imagine. Once I'm done with that, I got to try that out too. So, but that's all I have to say. Paris, anything you want to say before we wrap it up? And Pete, go for it.
Rest in peace, Disney Infinity.
Yeah. I think it was too crowded, man. Too many Skylanders, too many Disney Infinity. And what's the other one too? Lego Dimensions. Too many of that, man. And I think Disney, they're done with publishing games too. They're done with the whole video game market, man. So Star Wars is part of Disney. Might as well just give it to EA and let them handle that stuff, man. You know, so sucks.
Also, looking at the prices for everything. Yeah, I'm going 1070 all day. Have a nice day. Good night.
Okay. Paris, anything you want to say?
No, I think that's about it for me.
All right. So we're out and see you next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.